Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
How's it going, Steve?
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. I know that, it takes a big team to bring all this to pass, and Steve is a very significant part of VFN Radio and VFN TV. I just want to appreciate everything that you're doing. Ooh-rah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But I want to share, because the Lord laid on, we wanted to share it Friday, but we didn't have time to be able to share it. God spoke to you and confirmed, of course, we delivered some prophetic happenings called the Elijah Storm that's available to you. It's going to be made available to you that if you want to know what's going to happen in your future, and a lot of it's began to happen, but it hasn't even started yet. And also prudent preparation, and is the nation under God's judgment, and some different things about what do we do and what is God saying. And but in the context of that, while I was speaking on that, revealing what God was saying, God has spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of share with us what the Lord had shown you.
Well, God had given me a dream that in this dream I was driving my car, and I was going down a very steep incline while driving, and there was just dead carcasses everywhere.
Okay, carcasses
of just like of dead animals, dead cows, just every living life form was dead, falling all over the place. It was just like catastrophic chaos all around me, and I couldn't brake in my car. I didn't have brakes, so I was like weaving, trying not to hit everything that was all over. And as I was driving down the road, I can see up ahead of me that there's an intersection, and it was like a T intersection. I couldn't go through it. I had to turn. Now, mind you, I didn't.
It wasn't like a four way. It was a three way.
It wasn't a four way.
You were
correct.
Kind of, wow.
Yeah.
So you had to take a turn, either right or left.
I would have had to turn and. I knew, and there was a lot of traffic. And so finally, I see it, and I'm just like bracing myself for it. I make the turn, and I weave in between traffic so as not to hit anything. Mm-hmm. And finally, I get my car under control, and I pick up my phone immediately, and I go to call you. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the phone connects, immediately you just say, "Don't panic. This is what God has made happen to bring in the harvest. You do have your 90 days, right?" And that was a dream.
That's so powerful. But it was so powerful because this is what God said. This is what the Lord says: "I will work with you, confirming my word." So when God is speaking, He will confirm it through signs, wonders, miracles. His voice speaking to us, and in so many ways, He confirmed the Elijah storm. You know what's taking place, and what does John Paul Jackson call the perfect storm?
Perfect storm, yeah.
And in that, you know, we talked about this Friday, we want a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We complain about the lack of harvest, but yet we complain about hard times.
Right.
And to go along with what we were saying in the context of that, then hard times obviously came.
Mm-hmm.
And you start looking at these hard times, you can get focused on them. And there's no stopping of the fact that your car didn't have any brakes or anything like that nature. It's like, you can't stop this. You're not going to be able to say, okay, I'll just ponder this and talk about it and write about it. It's like, just got to keep going.
Yep.
Got to keep going. And you're not going to be able to stop it. This is an answer.
Uh-huh.
An answer to a prayer for the harvest. And God has shown us this huge harvest coming. And it's for us not to panic. It's not for, you know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are happening, you know, outside of God changing who He is, and He doesn't change. It's going to be a rough future, but it's going to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be rough if you're depending on stuff and things and all that. If that was your cattle industry, it's going to be rough.
Right.
But in the context of that, I was in the dream saying, "Don't panic. This had to happen for the harvest." And that's what we're saying. This thing has to be broken up for the harvest. This thing has to be, this hard soil has to be, you know, this, I mean, we're forcing Israel to go to the king of the north and empowering their adversary, the adversary of God, of Jesus, helping them get nuclear weapons,
right?
Nuclear power, making them a legitimate nuclear state. It's going to be rough. I mean, thank God it had to change who he was. And so in the context of that, understand you need to make preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have available for you in the VFN store, I believe, prudent preparation. You need to be prepared. A prudent man sees danger and prepares. A foolish man sees danger, keeps going, and suffers for it. And so understand, if you prepare, it's almost like this. Imagine if you're on an airplane and they say we're having turbulence and this is going on. This is what they tell you. They say, listen, when the oxygen mask comes down, put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then on your child second. The reason why is because you won't be alive probably to be able to help your child because that you'll pass out for the lack of oxygen. So you need, mm-hmm. if you want to help someone, you have to be there to help them.
Right.
Somebody mm-hmm. says, I can't believe you're not doing such a, well, I actually have to be alive to help you. I mean, if you just mm-hmm. want to eat me, you know, for your nourishment, that's one thing. Which I wouldn't taste that good anyway. I taste like a shake thing probably.
Or a protein bar.
In a protein bar, right.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah, so lots of dark chocolate. And but you have to take care, you have to position yourself. It's not selfish unless it is selfish. It's not selfish to make sure that you prepare to be able to put the oxygen mask on yourself so you can actually be there to help mm-hmm. others. You're not going to be able to store up enough grain to feed everybody that's hungry,
mm-hmm.
but you can, you know, prepare so that you can have something to eat or drink or whatever, so you can minister to folks, because a great harvest of souls is coming in. People are gonna, God's gonna, do you really think the creator of the universe who holds everything together that gave his son
right.
so that he can have us in relationship with him, that he's not gonna reach down and grab a harvest? It's gonna be the biggest harvest you've ever seen before. The question is, are you gonna be standing in the harvest line or the cheese line? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you gonna prepare? That's right. Are you going to prepare, or are you going to take for granted and assume tomorrow is going to be like today? And so many things have happened since this word came out. And some of the biggest things that have happened is happened since then, that it was when it was first coming out that people thought, this is Looney Tunes. You know, this is crazy. What are you talking about? It was amazing how that, being the first to start delivering a word.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean turning the hearts of the fathers to the son? Hold on, give me 5 years and the governor will be saying it.
Exactly.
Right? Everybody will be doing it soon. But that was some rough 5 years, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And so here we are. This thing is about to crack. And understand this, what's going to cause people to do, and sometimes you have to be on your back before you'll look up. This nation is about to have to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of people that sleep, and the church is asleep. The church is in darkness. But this awakening is going to cause the church to run into the light. And that light is a purifying light. And all of a sudden, we'll begin to behold the light himself, Jesus. And as we behold him, we'll be transformed into his image and his likeness. And in the context of that, then the harvest will begin to come in a powerful way. We'll actually be able to lead them to Jesus mm-hmm. and not to a building or to tradition or that yeah. type of thing, but lead them to Jesus. This is what he says. That you shall know the voice of the Son of Man, and you shall live. My sheep know my voice and follow none other. If you don't know the voice of the Lord yet, you need to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. And after you meet him, go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with the Lord. Begin to learn how to hear his voice now, this side of the harvest. We are just finished talking about a word that was given during the Elijah storm, teaching the prophetic word and prudent preparation, and you know, don't panic. This has to happen to be able to bring in the harvest. I want to encourage you that prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. You can catch that in the earlier program. Prepare yourself for what's about to take place, and understand if we really want a harvest, then the soil is going to have to be broken up. The hard soil has going to have to be broken up. And if you're prepared, then you can, you know, reap a harvest for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to see a great harvest of souls and sons and daughters of God who know his voice. And I've seen it. I've seen this huge thousands of folks coming to God. I've seen stadium filled with folks. And but this hunger for God, this sudden hunger. And they're going to be hungry, not only, they're going to be hungry for God, but they're going to know everything about him. And versus what's presently happening, it's like, it's just this darkness over America, that's some religious spirit of religion that people are actually claiming that they want to get saved, but they don't want to know anything about him. And it's obviously they don't, but you know, call the police then, you know, if you want to get saved from something. But you want to get saved from your sins, you know, it's Jesus Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're seeing that today. And we're going to see this huge harvest, that everything that you know and you need to know, you need to know this Jesus in whom you profess, so you can teach others, because it's going to take a massive amount of sons and daughters of God to raise up sons and daughters of God, to make them disciples. That's what God wants, is disciples of Jesus, those who know and follow his teachings, those who walk in the light as he is in the light, to be the light of the world. And it's called children of the day, children mm-hmm. of the light. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but you've been very religious, today's your day. You can make Jesus the Lord of your life by just calling out to him and saying, you know, Lord, I want you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to lead my life. I want your ways to be my ways. I want to know everything about you, and I want to follow the way that you walk before the Father. I want to walk that way before you and the Father, through the empowerment that comes through your finished work on the cross of Christ. We shared a couple of our stories how to meet the Father through his son, Jesus Christ, how some of us did. And you can go to meetmyfather.org and find out and kind of learn a little bit about that. Hey, if I can be saved, you can be saved. Paul said, of the sinners, I was the chiefest. And God did this to show you how merciful he was. And then you have, you know, folks who didn't need much and all that, you know.
Not much at all.
Right.
He's pretty clean.
Right. Write to us today. We can't find
about,
nothing. No,
you're talking about a big difference. You know, people acting religious as opposed to knowing him. People today are very hungry to know God. They want to know that someone actually knows him, you know.
Yeah.
And you tell a personal testimony.
Right.
And then basically a testimony is what God has personally done for you in your life. You know,
right.
It's not a 3 points or whatever. It's just sharing who God is, his amazing love.
Right.
And we had the opportunity to do that this last week, and it was just beautiful. It was a little shout out there to Alicia and Ashley, who gave their lives to the Lord this week. It was just awesome.
Welcome to the family.
Awesome. People want God, man. They want God. They're hungry for him. And it's for us to share our light everywhere we go. You know, I often say that evangelism is not an event, but it's a lifestyle. And as we go to the doctors, and as we go to, you know, to get gas and go to work and go to school, mm-hmm. we have opportunities to share the love of God with everyone. And just be open for those divine appointments, because God has them set up. You just got to be willing to allow your schedule to be interrupted. But when it is and God does it, you're just like, man, this is so beautiful. I'd stay in this place forever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes me think about, you know, here's Paul on his journey, and he is lied on, false accusations, arrested in chains and everything. And every opportunity he got, you know, the one thing he would do, he would just share his testimony.
That's it.
It was repeated all over again, because he knew, this is what he knew. He knew that Jesus was not a liar, and that he said, I'm sending you out, and I want you to go and like sheep amongst wolves, you know, watch out for men. But yet when they arrest you, when these things happen to you, don't worry about it, because I'm going to give you what to say. I'm going to bring you before authorities and folks. And so when we're before people, whoever they are, God's wanting us to share a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know your testimony. And there's, well, we've had folks that, because there's so much church in America, with things and stuff, that people really think that actually is the church. And people who say they're the church actually teach that is the church. And so people who don't know God,
right,
you know, want to start a church. It's like, well, you actually have to be the church. You can't start a church.
Right.
And we have atheists right now that have atheist mega churches. You can see it on the VFN torch. They actually are coming together, and it's the whole thing except for God.
Hmm.
And And so we had an example, one particular man that he just liked the idea of starting a church, and he came and he knew of God. Mm-hmm. He knew about the things of God. And but when he came to us, when we asked him who was Jesus, he didn't know. You know, when did you actually? He didn't know who he was to him. He knew who he was in the context of things. And then finally says, "Well, you know, share with us the same thing that Paul did. Basically, share with us your testimony. What? How did you meet God?" And so many people, you know, they can't do that. You know why they can't do that? Because you haven't yet met him yet. Mm-hmm. Because that's something, it's not, this is what religion tells you. You got to know your testimony because you got to be able to tell somebody, because this is what we do religiously, because we need giving units for our building program. No, we're not talking about that.
No.
We're talking about when you fall in love with someone, when somebody comes and forgives you and restores you and blesses you and heals you and directs you, and you encounter the creator of the universe. You don't need to be told about that. You may need the help in explaining it, how you can articulate it to someone. But you're going to say something, even to the point where you could just say, you know, it was awesome. I was undone. And now I know God, and my life is so different. And
there's a clear line of demarcation. Yeah. This is what my life was before I encountered God.
Yeah.
This is when I met God, this season of my life. And this is what my life has been after.
Right.
I've been following him and serving him and decided to make him Lord and, you know, love of my life.
Yeah. And so, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about people can actually minister in these different gifts and stuff, and people can get saved, but they don't even know, he don't even know them.
Right.
So it's not, you know, people can play church. They can do church. I mean, if anybody can, they can do church.
They can do church now.
But understand, and so this guy wanted to start a church.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple thing, the only thing at the beginning of this long process that he needed to do was just share about how you met Jesus. What's your life? And he was stuck.
Yikes.
He got stuck because he was filling it out. And then he could not put anything in there. He could not fill in that. He could not fill that. Even though he told people about Jesus, even though people got saved because people turned to Jesus, even though he knew about the Bible, even though he knew about church, he didn't know Jesus. And so he was confronted with a blank on a form, basically, that said, you know, tell about your testimony, how you met Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so honest. He's just like, I never met him. I don't know Jesus.
Wow.
I don't know Jesus. Now, this is right after he said he owned a church. How many people have not been asked that question? And somebody says, oh, that's so cool because we want to start some more churches.
Oh, gosh.
And you put some agnostic, atheist, lost, dark servant of Lucifer who has not yet become a servant of Jesus Christ and of the light over people in the name of God. And so then began to introduce him to Jesus as Lord, and he began a journey in the context of that, but understand this, it is possible to really know a whole bunch of stuff about God. To be a Pharisee, which, you know, Saul was a Pharisee, you had to memorize the entire word of God. You had to have it memorized. And so you can have all that word inside of you, but when the word takes on the form of flesh, when God becomes on earth, Emmanuel, Jesus was standing before them, they didn't even know who he was.
Mm.
And of all the things that Jesus could have said to his disciples after he's ministered for a while, was, who do people say that I am? You know, some say a prophet. You know, and that's what Islam says. Islam says that Jesus was a good prophet. But they also say he has to come back and apologize for calling himself the Son of God. So that's not the appropriate definition of who he is.
Nope.
Some say Elijah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally he looks to his very own that's been walking with him. I mean, why would he ask the very ones that he's walking with? Think about that.
Right.
Why would he ask? I mean, these guys, you selected them. They walk with you. They have seen the miracles. They've even ministered and went out in his name and, you know, demons were driven out and miracles happened and all this type of stuff. And to the point where he had to tell them, listen, relax a little bit. Just don't rejoice over the fact that the demons listen to you. Just rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then all of a sudden he goes, and I saw Lucifer get thrown out of heaven like a lightning bolt. It's like, oh, where did that come from? That was like out of, you know, it was actually his pride. And so then he says to the very ones walking with him, he says, who do you say that I am? Mm. And how many people would be offended? Don't you know I'm on the board here? Mm. Don't you know that I bought that podium that you preach behind? Don't you know those bricks in the wall came from my company when I came and laid these bricks? Offended.
Wow.
You know what? You know why you're offended? Because you don't know the answer. You don't know who he is. Because you wouldn't be offended. You know, I asked one particular person who was ministering in the name of Jesus a simple, simple question that I would jump at a chance to answer. And the question was, is your allegiance to Jesus? I mean, you're preaching in the name of Jesus.
Hello.
You're telling the whole world you're ministering in the name of Jesus. You're collecting all kinds of money saying you're preaching the gospel of Jesus. And the person was offended.
Wow.
Offended. And it's like, I'm thinking the simple answer is yes. If your allegiance is to Jesus.
All right.
But it's interesting that you can only say these things if you know him.
Yeah.
You know, is Jesus truly the Son of God? Is he the Lord of your life? And he says that the Antichrist, you know, denies this reality, people who are held captive by that.
Jesus had more problem with the Pharisees than he did with demons. Is like
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And so I just want to encourage you that don't be religious. Be relational. Understand that it's not about you knowing about Jesus. It's about you knowing him. Think about this, too. You can be the first of a great harvest is coming in. You can be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. And in this harvest is coming on the face of the earth, you can be ahead of the wave where you can carry water for him and you can help people and you can bring them in and you can love on them. You can be a part. Now you can make a decision. If you're held captive by religion, if you're held captive by some man-made whatever that's keeping you from doing what Jesus said, WWJD, get free and get fed and get related and get his voice walked out in a way that you understand the voice of God so that you can be a part of this great harvest. Maybe the Dream Center's for you. Maybe VFN Dream Center's for you. Go to vfndreamcenter.org and find out. Maybe God's calling you to be a part of a team, a spiritual army that God's raising up to be able to bring in this harvest. An abundant harvest that's coming in to bring him glory. You don't want to be religious. You want to be relational. You need to know God. He wants to know you. But the biggest thing that you see when you do begin to read the Word of God, that many people are going to come in the last days and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And he's going to say, this is what he's going to say. This Jesus that's being preached, a different Jesus that's being preached, this is what the true Jesus is going to say. He's going to say, I never knew you. There's going to be some people that think that know him, but they really don't know him, but they're going to find out that he didn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
And the word know is a very intimate term. It's spending time with folks. It's spending time with them. To really know somebody, you got to spend time with them. Energy. To know God, you spend time with God. You abide with the Lord. And if it's difficult for you to even think about spending time with him, you don't know him yet. Mm-hmm. You're your own God. Mm-hmm. You're thinking that you don't have a need of him. And by the way, why he's actually giving you the air to breathe and allowing the mind to think that foolish thought and hoping at some point, as he talks about in Acts chapter 7, that you're going to acknowledge this reality and reach out for him. And so begin to abide with the Lord. Give yourself like 7 weeks. And I say 7 weeks because 40 days to create a habit. So your flesh begins to sit down and hush up while your soul gets renewed and your spirit man gets vitalized. Is spending time with God, and it's a powerful. You can find out how to do that at iabide.org. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 1,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the daily radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the daily radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today. Or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the daily radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.